Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. My name's George Sinclair. I'm the pastor of the Church of the Messiah, and it's my privilege and honor today to open the Bible and talk about Jesus with all of you folks who are listening. Listen, during the month of September, the programs are being brought to you not only by Good News Christian Ministries, but also due to the generous support of the Upper Room Home Furnishings Company at 2670 Queensview Drive here in Ottawa. Just so you know, all of us who speak on this show, we don't get any money, but we are desperately in need of your support, primarily your prayer support. But if you can support us financially, that would be great as well. And so listen, you can listen to this show or check out other shows. Just Google Good News in the Morning, and it'll take you to our webpage. Listen, today I want to talk about a really persistent problem and the wisdom that Jesus has in light of it. You know, about a year or so ago, I had a really awkward meeting that I had to go to. I think when I had shared it with some, you know, trusted advisors, people who were quite prepared to tell me, you know, George, you're out of line. And, you know, I'd been wronged, and a little group that I was involved with, we'd been wronged by this other group. And so we asked for a meeting, and we're going to have a meeting, and listen, I and myself and the others, we all had sleepless nights leading up to this meeting. There was going to be conflict, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to have to sort of confront them about the fact that they had done wrong to us. And so the time came for the meeting, and I go in with the others, and we're all really nervous and all, you know, all that stuff. You folks have probably all been there with something like that. And we go into this meeting, and the people who, you know, we really think objectively had wronged us, they're relaxed, they're laughing, they're joking, they're really, really easy going. They don't look like they lost a single moment sleep over it. And so here you have this situation going into the meeting that the people who wronged us, they're not having any problems. They're having a great life. The people who are sort of really bent out of shape and losing sleep are me and the others who'd been wronged. You know, there's an old Christian saying that holding on to the type of anger and bitterness and all that comes from being hurt, that's like drinking poison yourself, hoping that the other person will die. You've probably heard that saying before. If you haven't, it's a great old Christian saying. I don't know who on earth said it first. But Jesus launches us on a path about forgiveness, which is deeply, deeply wise. And that's what we want to talk about today, is Jesus' teaching on forgiveness. Now, in an earlier program, I talked about the fact that there's only one place in all of the Gospels where Jesus is asked to teach people to pray. Only one place. And it's in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. So if you have a Bible, get your Bible. And I'm going to read it here for you right now, and it's Luke 11, verses 1 to 4, and it's what happens when Jesus is asked to teach on prayer. Here's what he says. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" And so you see that Jesus thinks that it's important to pray every day about forgiveness, about forgiving others. He says, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." And so we're going to take some time to sort of try to plumb, just to begin to get into what it is that Jesus teaches. But before that, we're going to listen to some music. We're going to listen to one of the great, great, great modern hymns, Stuart Townend singing In Christ Alone.
God flesh, fullness of God in helpless
Hello again. You're listening to CFRE Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. And if you want to hear more about us, just Google Good News in the Morning, and you can find out more things about us. And listen, we began the show talking about forgiveness, and Jesus teaches us to pray every day in the words of Luke 11, verses 1 to 4. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And just before we sort of try to get into that a little bit more, let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the one who ultimately caused Scripture to be written, and every word that there is the word that you wanted to have there. But we confess before you, Father, that unless your Holy Spirit enlightens us and moves in our minds and our hearts and our wills, we can't really understand your word. So, Father, please pour out your Holy Spirit upon us as we listen today and as we read your word, so that we might hear and understand your word and come to Jesus, and through Jesus come to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, the opening illustration was, you know, all about me sort of being bent out of shape, somebody wronged me, having a meeting with them. They obviously had lost no sleep whatsoever. And here's the thing. How do I know I need to forgive? How do I know I need to forgive? And here's how I know. We might have a powerful experience where we think we've forgiven the other person and it's all behind us. But here's the thing that shows us whether we really need to forgive. And you might want to write it down. If I have been wronged and now I have feelings of fight or flight, then I need to forgive to be free. I'll say it again. And by the way, you can look on the webpage later on, and some of these notes will be down there for you to help you. If I have been wronged and now I have feelings of fight or flight, then I need to forgive to be free. You see, so in what happened in that earlier illustration, I had been wronged, and I was standing up for myself, and I was going to go in there and try to, you know, let them know what they'd done, but I hadn't forgiven them. And so I was, you know, captured by feelings of anxiety and anger. Part of me wanted to just lash out at them. Part of me just wanted to withdraw and sort of almost like cower. And that shows that I need to forgive. That's why, you see, sometimes we can have a powerful experience of having forgiven somebody. But later on, maybe we see their picture, or we come in their presence, and we realize that there's a part of us that still wants to be angry at them, or some of us, part of us that wants to run from them. And it shows that we continue to need to pray for the ability to forgive the person. Sometimes forgiveness is something that takes a long obedience in the same direction of praying daily into the need to forgive before we can forgive. Sometimes we can have a single experience. We pray that, you know, help me to forgive, Father, and God in his mercy grants us an immediate ability to forgive, and we're completely and utterly free afterwards. No more feelings of fight or flight. But for many of us, in many times, it's a journey, which is why Jesus just says, just as he says, give us each day our daily bread. In other words, we're to pray for daily bread every day. Then there's the word and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This is something we have to pray about daily. And sometimes praying for forgiveness is a long obedience in the same direction. It might take days, weeks, months, years of prayer before we actually are able to truly, truly, truly be able to forgive. Now, some of you might say, George, does forgiving mean I have to forget about what's happened? Won't forgiveness sort of make me weak? If I forget what that person's done, I sort of open myself up for getting hurt again. Well, here's the thing. Forgiveness definitely does not mean that you have to forget. In fact, one of the problems is that we forget and then we don't realize that we have, in fact, not forgiven. That's why sometimes, you know, maybe it's a smell we smell in a room, or, or an image, or just something about, an article of clothing, and it brings back the memory of the person who wronged us, or the situation where we have been wronged. And we might not have thought about that person for years and years and years, and the memory comes flooding back in, and we are right back with feelings of fight or flight. And you see, what's happened is we've forgotten, but we haven't forgiven. And at the heart of forgiveness is being able to remember, being able to have a picture of the person who's wronged us, to be able to watch a video of the situation where we've been wronged, and being able to watch that. And by God's grace working in us, that we have so forgiven the person or the people that we are not experiencing fight or flight when we remember, but that we have in a sense a space of freedom, a space of free. You see, that's why forgiveness is connected to being strong, not being weak. Because if we haven't forgiven and we're consumed with fight or flight, then what happens is our reactions to the other person are going to be unbalanced. They're going to be out of whack. But if we actually are able to forgive the other person, then we can look at the person, look at the situation in our next dealings with them, and look at those situations from a position of peace and of strength, and figure out what is the wise and the just way to move forward. And you know, in some cases, it will mean that after, you know, the wrong that's done will forever change the relationship. You know, I like giving the example that if somebody was the treasurer of our church and they embezzled all of the money, I and the congregation would have to forgive them. But on the other hand, that person should never be a treasurer again, right? So forgiveness isn't, in a sense, a blank check for the wrongdoer to keep doing wrong. It's not that at all. It's being in a position where you're no longer drinking poison, hoping the other person will die. It's being in a position where you're no longer consumed with fight or flight, and it's being in a place where you can look at the situation and deal with it in a wise and just way as you move forward. Now, some of you might say, George, do I have to forgive those who won't repent? Yes, you do. That's why we sometimes even have to work on forgiving the dead. Okay, I'm not going weird and kooky on us, but, you know, let's just think of that example. You know, maybe some of us have a dad or an uncle or a school teacher who greatly, greatly wronged us. They've been dead for years. But, you know, all of a sudden somebody brings up good old dad or good old mom or, you know, old pastor so-and-so, or we see a picture of them, and all of the feelings of fight or flight come right back. The dead can no longer repent. They can no longer call us up and say that they're sorry. So you see, we learn to forgive in a sense for ourselves in our own walk with God, that we can be free. And now, you can't have reconciliation or restoration without the other person repenting. In the illustration which began this, it's because the group that wronged us were our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we had a high value of reconciliation and restoration. And so we knew that not only did we need to forgive them, we needed to tell them that they'd wronged us in the hope that they would repent, and in their repentance that there could be a restored and a reconciled relationship. So there can't be reconciliation and restoration without repentance, but whether or not the other person repents, Jesus is here telling us, once again, listen to the words of Jesus, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone or all who is indebted to us. Now, some of you might say, George, are you saying that only Christians can forgive? I'm not saying that at all. Let me give you an example. The church building that we used to own was on a side of a hill. We've been out of that building for a couple of years, but one day, you know, we used to leave the church in our one part of our building, which was at the bottom of the hill, and our parking lot was at the top of the hill. So sometimes I'd be with people, we'd go out of my office, and we'd have to walk up this short, steep hill to the parking lot. And I remember walking with a person who was around the same age as me, and at the top of the hill, he was huffing and puffing, and I wasn't huffing and puffing. And here's the thing. Freedom is natural, okay? Just like health is natural. You know, we don't, in a sense, think about the fact that we're breathing. We only think about the fact that we're breathing usually when we're having problems breathing. And God has made us as human beings so that we would be free, that we would not be always drinking poison. It's a natural thing, and that's why so many non-Christians are able to forgive as well, is that they move towards that which is natural, and they do it. The advantage that Christians have is that we can pray into it, that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who hears our prayers. When we've given our lives to Jesus and trust Him as our Savior and desire to have Him as Lord, then we have another resource. We have the resource of the Holy Spirit. We have the resource of Jesus. We have the resource of our Heavenly Father, and we can pray and ask. Jesus asks us to pray about this particular situation. So So here it is that in a sense, it's not only that Christians can forgive, but Christians are specifically told by Jesus that we need to move towards forgiveness, that we have to learn to forgive. Another question is, should I forgive God? I've heard people tell me they've forgiven God. And let me tell you this, folks, I know it's a well-meaning comment, but God is never in our debt and God never does us wrong. God is only good. And so there's never any cause for me or any person to forgive God. He is the generous one. I am the ungenerous one. He is holy and good, and I am the one who is not holy and good. And so it's never appropriate to forgive God. Now, here's another thing about this text. Just listen to the text again and just think about what it teaches us about what it means to be a human being. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. What this is teaching us is something else. It says, I need mercy every day. Remember, Jesus is telling us this every day to pray, forgive us our sins to our Heavenly Father. It's teaching us that you need mercy every day. And it's teaching us that God is mercy. Really important to know that every person that you meet today, whether it's the richest person you know or the poorest person you know, the most broken person, the most successful person, every person you meet needs mercy. All human beings need mercy every day, and God is mercy. And Jesus invites us to understand this about God and understand this about ourselves and walk towards it and into it in prayer. You see, as human beings, we need both justice and mercy. And God is completely just, completely good, completely loving, and completely merciful. And there's no compromising his justice by his mercy or his mercy by his justice. He is infinitely just and infinitely merciful. God is both. But we are fallen. We are fallen. We are bent. We all have fallen, sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, while there are times we definitely need justice, you know, we need to confront the person who's wronged us. But our deepest, most fundamental need from God is mercy, because we are fallen. Now, some of you might wonder then, okay, George, as we pray this prayer all the day, is Jesus telling us that if I keep praying this prayer, that I will become more and more forgiven as I grow on, as I grow as a Christian? Not at all. I just want to read you the very end of the gospel and listen to how Jesus sort of summarizes. Luke has Jesus summarize what goes on in the gospel. It's from Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 49. And it says this. So this is after the resurrection of Jesus. He's speaking to his apostles and he says this. And said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ, that's the Messiah, should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending you the promise of the Father, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Notice that? And that verse 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Here's the thing. That when we come and put our faith and trust in Jesus, because what he has done for us on the cross, dying in our place, bearing that punishment which we deserved, Jesus gives me a new identity and destiny, totally forgiven. Jesus gives me a new identity and destiny, totally forgiven. Jesus deals with everything from the moment of my conception to the moment of my death and everything in between, everything that I have done wrong in God's sight, are laid on him with no exception. And so when I put my faith and trust in him, I am totally forgiven. Now, some of you might say, just very briefly in closing, George, is God's forgiveness to me conditional, though? No, what Jesus does for me on the cross is completely unconditional. But when the Bible here tells us that we are to forgive others, it's teaching us a very important principle, that God made me to be a stream and not a dam. That God made me to be a stream and not a dam. That as Jesus is, as Father's forgiveness flows into me, as his acceptance flows into me, I'm not to dam it all up, but I am to learn to, as I experience the forgiveness that comes from Jesus, as I'm gripped by the gospel, that I am in a sense that I am to let that flow into my life and out of my life to others, to forgive them. See, God made each of us to be a stream and not a dam. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here in this prayer. Just imagine the life of freedom that's possible as we start to recognize our need to walk towards difficulties and problems. And in the sure confidence that every single thing that we face, Jesus already knew about and has dealt with it on the cross. And we can pray to him in freedom. Pray to him not only that he will forgive the wrong that troubles our consciences, but that we will learn to have the strength and the healing and the wholeness as we pray to him so that we can forgive others. It's a place of strength. It's a place of liberty. It's a place that brings God glory, and it's for ordinary people like you and me. Have you received Jesus? Give yourself to Jesus. Be gripped by the gospel. I just want to close with a prayer. Father, thank you so much for Jesus and for his once-for-all sacrifice upon the cross. Help me and all who are hearers of this to be so gripped by the gospel that we will receive the forgiveness of our sins and that we will learn to forgive as well. Friends, in closing, we're going to listen to George Beverly Shea sing "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Just want to remind you, just like to express our thanks to the Upper Room Home Furnishings, 2670 Queensview Drive, Ottawa, for sponsoring today's program. God bless.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Oh, I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 5.